Pattern Podcast. Make left traffic, clear for the option.
Line up and wait, 7 range, 4 Mike Alpha.
Mark Tower, 172, Romeo Hotel, hold code on 133, ready to take off.
Robert Delta, 362, on Mike, and I'm downwind for runway 25.
I'm John.
I'm Chris.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Mark.
And we are the In the Pattern Podcast.
Welcome to another special edition of In the Pattern Podcast. This is Chris, and John is with me. We are currently riding back from Oshkosh. It's a little quick cast just to wrap up the events at Oshkosh for us. So this will be our final quick cast about Oshkosh. We're kind of trying to follow up from the events that we're in the first one. So, leading off, basically, we started out with the air show on Friday, right, John?
Yes, on Friday.
All right. So this was my first time seeing the major air show that goes on there, and it's just incredible. Planes everywhere, all kinds. I mean, there's not any time where there's any kind of downtime waiting for one plane or another. I mean, something's going on at all times. It's really, really, really cool. One of the things we saw, I just remembered, was a plane going off the end of the runway.
Yes. Remember what that was?
I don't remember what that was. It was like, wasn't an F-86, but it was in that era, I think, of airplanes. There was those kind of like Vietnam era jet planes. The day before, an F-16 had landed a little bit long, a little bit fast, and didn't have the ability to get his brakes on, I guess, all the way, and went off the end of the runway and into a little ditch and tore off his nose gear and so forth, and this plane kind of followed him in there. Matter of fact, as it was landing real fast, I was like, man, John, he's really cooking down the runway. I was waiting for a drag chute or, you know, something going on there, but he was cooking on down there and just about hit the ass end of that F-16, but he swerved to the left and missed it. And I guess his damage wasn't near as bad because as of yesterday, the F-16 was still sitting down there. The crane had kind of taken it out of the ditch, but the plane was still there, sitting on its broken nose. The whole nose cone radar section was missing. Its undercarriage was either fully collapsed or taken off. So they'll have to extricate that later, I guess. So anyways, the daytime air show was really, really cool. Then directly after the daytime air show was one of our favorite parts, I think. And that was the exit of the 787 Dreamliner. Any final thoughts or anything on that Dreamliner, John?
Yeah, just the look of those wings when that thing gets some lift. It's kind of sexy.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. One of the better wing designs. It doesn't have those big, long, swooping wingtips like you see, like
winglets.
Yeah, the winglets like you see on the 737s and a lot of other jets. They'd done something a little bit different with this one, and it's a really, really sleek looking, in my opinion. And as soon as it gets off the ground and starts pulling up, they flex a little bit, and there's like a little bit of a bow to it, it looks like.
Yeah. He also, I love that this guy rocked his wings as soon as he got up.
Oh, that was really cool. Yeah. He gets up off the ground. And then he's rocking the wings left and right and so forth. And I remember the guy calling the air show, you know, was like, you know, saying thanks and this and that. And I think the captain was asking, you know, how was that wing rock? Is that okay? And he said something about, well, a loop would have been better, but this will definitely do.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And unfortunately, he didn't do like a pattern and then come back in and like do a full pattern, do a low pass, and then exit. He had an IFR flight plan, so he boogied right out of there. But it was pretty cool. I think we got some pretty good video and still pics of this that some of them are already up on my Picasa.
Mine are up.
And yeah,
well,
John.
Wait a minute. Not from after the last podcast, actually.
Okay.
And they won't be up until, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, there is, I don't know, a gazillion pictures. I think I probably took somewhere near 1,000 pictures. Of course, I'll never, ever have all of those out. I'll probably delete a good 300 or 400 of them just because they're junk. But so he takes off, and let's see what else. Oh, prior to that, part of the air show, I guess, was Fifi, and Fifi did her thing. There was a nice bomb drop.
They did the wall of fire.
Yeah, the wall of fire. That was pretty intense. But it was pretty cool because the announcer was telling us, you know, she's going to drop her bomb. So we had an idea of where it was going to be, I guess. So that was pretty cool. That was you could like feel it from like a long ways away, and it was on the as far away from, well, on the opposite ends of the runways. I don't know, a good couple hundred yards or better away from us, and you could feel it. So Fifi 787, and so that was that was the conclusion of the air show, right?
Yeah. All right. And then right after that, we went on to the Airplaneista Oshkosh.
The Airplaneista Oshkosh, with Airplaneista founder Dan, is his name, right?
Yes.
And so that was pretty cool. It was kind of a little meetup between a lot of the Twitter people that were there again, and had some swag giveaway. It was real cool. Everybody seemed to get something. What else? Just kind of talking about the magazine, how it got started, why he's doing it, and the thing about when he started to charge the 86 cents for it, and then pretty much quickly said, okay, no, that's not going to work. We'll just go back to free and work something else out later. So seemed like a real cool guy, and got to meet a few other people that I hadn't met so far there. Any other thoughts on the Oshkosh?
Not really.
All right.
It's early.
Yeah.
I can't function.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention. We're in John's car right now. It's O Dark 30, and it's 5:39 currently a.m. in the morning.
We've been on the road for 45 minutes.
Yeah, about 40 minutes. I think we were. So we got up at 4:15 ish a.m. and started clearing out the tent, pulling the tent stakes, cleaning up the campsite. We hustled pretty good. In 15 minutes. The tent was down and packed away in John's car, and we're boogieing down the road. So this one's a little different. So if there, you have any hear any background noise, we apologize. We're driving. So we're about an hour and a half out of Milwaukee right now. So we thought we'd go ahead and try and wrap this up while stuff is still somewhat fresh in our head. What else? So
we got up really early on Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
4:30 to go to do Dawn Patrol at the, started at Vintage. Couldn't wait for the balloon launch.
Yeah. But
sadly, they didn't have enough wind aloft to...
The wind was going the wrong direction. It was going to push them out over the lake.
Something like that, but it wasn't enough wind for them to get over the lake, so they ended up calling it off.
So they just ended up being tethered. Yeah, so we got up at, 4:30 again, and got the cameras ready and started heading out to take some pictures. My legs were killing me at the end of that day. Well, at that point, let's see, so I get in, Wednesday night at 2 a.m., go to bed, and I have, like, 2 hours sleep, and we get up and start, you know, I get up and start already, like, hanging out with people and this and that, so I got 2 hours of sleep that day, and then the next day I got, like, 4 hours of sleep. Here we are at getting up at 4:30, just a little before 4:30 in the morning today, and we went to bed at midnight, was it?
A little after.
No, yeah, it was 12:30. So 3.5 hours. So in the 3 days that I've been here, I've managed to knock out a whole 11 and a half, maybe 12 hours of sleep total. And, I don't know. It's, so much to do. You don't want to miss anything. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, I hadn't been to places until we did Dawn Patrol yesterday.
Right.
Like, actually, out in Warburg Alley, out on the field there, I'd been to the Scott's Warburg, like, the patio, I guess, well, I don't know what you call it, a little concrete slab with Warburgs, but I hadn't actually been out on the grass.
Yeah. We were, we were deep into Warburg territory. So how far do you think it is, all the way from where the balloons are down at the ultralight area, right? Walking the entire flight line all the way down to where we did.
It's probably 8,000 feet.
Well, yeah, runway to runway at least, right?
Now, and then some. The balloons aren't quite at the end of the runway on that end, but I believe they're fairly close. And when you consider the warbirds are actually past the end of the runway 36 there.
Right.
I would say it's about 8,000 feet.
Yeah. And then give or take our zigzagging through stuff on the way there, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That was a long morning, considering the lack of sleep.
Well, then we went, after taking pictures of the warbirds, immediately went to
our helicopter ride.
So we had to go all the way back to the main gate
right, to
catch a shuttle bus to Pioneer Airport so we could get our helicopter ride.
So I had to walk almost half the distance back the way we just came, and then towards the gate. Yeah, and then we headed over to, was it Pioneer Field, you said? Is that what it's called?
It's,
Where Kid Venture is, and where the...
Kid Venture Pioneer Airport.
Yeah, where the museum is, and so forth. And we took one of those helicopter rides in a little Bell 47. So the Bell 47, if you don't know, is a similar aircraft, if you've ever seen MASH. It's a little bubble canopy, and it's a, you know, regular gas engine, small helicopter, and we sat three across. So it was me in the middle, John on the outside, helicopter on the left side, and it was just a quick 5-minute jaunt around the airport while things are going on the whole time. We got some pretty good pictures. I think we even got a decent one of, like, from Camp Schaller, where Camp Bacon was, where we were camped out. So, see if we can get that zoomed in.
Yeah. Well, that's on your camera, so.
Yeah. We'll see. See how that goes. Yeah, we had John doing video, and then I was doing video. John was taking pictures. It was the other way.
I was like, I don't know what I hit on your phone, but it just stopped taking video.
I gave John my phone to do video, and I said, I'll take pictures. And he accidentally touched a button that stopped recording. Then I was like, here, let me have it. So we flip-flopped real quick, and I got the video going out after we were in the air a little bit. But not bad. It was a lot of fun. The bubble canopy, it has no doors on the left or the right. So, like, John's right arm, right elbow, shoulder-ish area is, like, hanging out of the helicopter.
Yeah, pretty much in the side of my pants. I was, like, hoping that nothing fell out of my pockets.
And if you moved your arm a certain way, what would tend to happen?
Well, if I move my arm out to take a picture, I'd start getting air coming in and try to blow my hat off.
Right. It disrupts the airflow, and now all of a sudden his hat's trying to fly off his head while he's in the helicopter, so... But that was a lot of fun. I could get used to some rides in those whirly birds. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
So got back on the bus and got back to our camp then and just hung out for a while. Cause at that point, we'd been up for 5 or 6 hours just of nonstop walking, snapping pictures, et cetera, et cetera. So we just kind of chilled out for a while. And that was good cause my legs and ankles and knees, really needed the rest. And then,
well,
John,
when I went off.
Yeah. John had some things on his agenda he wanted to get knocked out. What were those, John?
Well, I had pretty much not gone to any of the forums I wanted to all week. I was just too busy doing everything else.
Ditto. So much for sticking to Osh Planner.
Yeah, well, I decided to actually stick to it yesterday, and to some extent, I guess. I went to a forum on X-15 and the Space Shuttle, which pretty much ended up being a forum about the X-15. The guy was an X-15 pilot. I think he flew the shuttle. I wasn't 100% sure on that. But he talked a lot about the X-15 and flying it. Showed a little video at the end on some documentary on the X-15. So that was pretty cool. And then I went right after that and went to the sheet metal workshop. And did some riveting.
It was riveting.
It was.
Yeah.
I split us off into groups after going over some of the information on types of aluminum, types of rivets, all that kind of stuff. And then we built this little thing, which was two aluminum angles and a piece of aluminum sheet.
Angle iron, well, it's not angle iron, but
it's aluminum angle.
L-shaped aluminum, and then a thin piece of aluminum sheet metal.
Kind of like the type of aluminum that will be the skin of an aluminum aircraft.
Right. So they taught you how to.
So we did some.
Use a rivet gun on that.
Not a rivet gun on the one, and used a squeezer on the other, and did some dimpling and countersinking, so just some basic sheet metal techniques.
They taught you how to rivet your thumb or your finger?
Well, yeah, I jumped and I pinched my finger, but that was fun. And then I think after that's when I came back. And you were already back from what you were doing.
I was back, yeah. What did I do? I went to where? Let's see. I took off, by myself, and, I wanted to go do some shopping and so forth. I wanted to get some hats, just a little swag for some friends back home. So I did that, met up with, Captain Ron and his student. He has his first, student as a, CFI, and his student just had, 1.5 hours, of training and lived to tell about it, so that was good. It was good catching up with them. And hung out with them for a few minutes and just got something to eat and stuff while I was just making my way back to camp, but I wanted to grab something to eat, so I just stuck a tweet out there real quick if anyone wanted to meet up for lunch or whatever. And so he replies, I'm like, all right, so we found each other and grabbed a little something to eat and talked for a while, so that was cool. And after that, I just headed back to camp to relax some more.
That afternoon, we got about 10 minutes warning of a gust front for some pretty bad thunderstorms.
Yeah,
in a matter of, 2 seconds, it was like, 40 mile an hour. Winds?
Yeah, probably at least. I wonder if we can go back and find that date on that, because it was pretty intense for a while. We were just sitting there chilling, hanging out for a while, and some pretty good-sized clouds were coming. We were afraid we were going to get rain again, and so that would have sucked. But we got a little bit of rain, but not much. The biggest issue is just the amount of wind. What'd you get a text message from EAA?
Well, yeah, I had their Twitter account set up to send me text messages whenever they tweet, so I got the warning that it ended up being about 10 minutes. They said, gust front coming.
Yeah.
So I started putting stuff away, and well, I was already about to start packing the car for us to leave this morning.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I forget what I was doing, but then, bam, there's 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Right.
And some guy across the street from us lost his tent, ended up in our...
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or actually, one of our... I know one of the guys from our group's tent went to another camp, and he was dragging it across the road back over to our side.
Who?
I don't remember who it was, because it was over there in between one of the
nobody lost a tent there. Thing. Well, Glenn took his down. The other guy, the guy across from us, lost his tent and came over.
Hmm.
Then Larry kind of tried to make it set up because we thought it was from our camp.
Oh, is that what I was seeing? I think that's what I was seeing.
And then the guy came back over, took it back over, and then staked it back in the ground over there. But yeah,
oh.
I mean, his tent came clear across the road.
Yeah, that's what I saw, was that someone was dragging a tent to ours, but he was confused that it wasn't our, belonged to our campsite. But the worst of it was, Mart's pop-up, Easy Up, was brand new Easy Up. And that wind just made a pretzel out of the thing, in no time flat. And there, it was three of us doing all we could do to, hold on to this thing to keep it from sailing, you know, down the road and destroying a car or whatever, which I did hear happen. Someone ended up with a partial, Easy Up, tent, like the metal poles, like through a window of a car, so.
Oh, doesn't surprise me.
No.
There was so many of those things just sitting there next to dumpsters after that,
yeah.
That wind.
Yeah. A lot of ruined Easy Ups after that. They just turned into kites. So it took a while for us to clean up that mess, and at that point, you know, it just kind of gave us an excuse to clean up the camping area, so we kind of started getting things organized there. Got that all back together.
Yep. Then we did dinner, and then the night air show.
Yeah, dinner. We had some dinner with Lynn Costa from Pilot Report, and also Mark Newman. So we had some dinner, and then headed back to see the night air show, and that was just flat amazing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen a night air show, try to find one, because it's just cool.
Yeah, that's pretty special. I mean, to do the routines they do during the day, and of all of them, of course, the formation flying of the aeroshell team is pretty incredible during the day alone. But now add night to that, and these flashing lights and sparks everywhere, and fireworks that are ejecting from the Texans. I mean, they have this one thing set up.
Any fireworks in the Texans?
No, they didn't have any.
They just do the lights. Them and Matt Youngkin do the lights. Now Matt Youngkin has his Twin Beach with like tons of lights on that thing.
Oh yeah, could you? I was thinking about this, you know, as especially just recently taking the written test and this and that about. If you see a plane in the air and it's, you know, you see left, you see, not left, but you see green lights on, green and red lights, what does that mean? Or you see a green light and a white light, what's that mean? Or whatever. I don't know what you do when you see the lights in the air if that was going on. Just stay away because they just look like they're coming at you from all directions.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be in the box, so.
No.
I'm sure you are. There's some issues.
I'm sure he's not flying cross country with them on just to mess with people at night.
Well, that's a lot of power. like Gene Susi, the sailplane guy.
Yeah,
the jet sailplane guy, do fireworks. Fire dancer, I forget his name.
Yeah, but the Texans, they have this light shooting out the back. And then coupled with the smoke and everything, it actually looks like they're jet powered or something. There's like some sort of afterburner going on.
Yeah, that is pretty cool looking.
It's a nice little illusion. But those guys, the way they stick together, for that night routine. It would just scare the pants off me. I couldn't imagine.
Then they had a pretty good fireworks show.
The fireworks show, I thought, was one of the better ones that I've ever seen, and I'm not really impressed with fireworks overall. I mean, I come from Missouri, and, you know, there, just like here, you know, the public can go buy almost any type of firework they want.
Oh, wow.
Next to a, you know, a quarter stick of dynamite, but with
what, that in Maryland.
But with what you can buy, you can create your own. But back home for me in Phoenix, it's way too dry. Heck no. I mean, they actually did start allowing fireworks as of last New Year's, but it's all like ground-based stuff. Nothing explodes. It's really lame.
That's the kind of stuff we have in Maryland.
You know, cone sparkling thingy, whatever, you know, and people still kind of ooh-ah over that. But even the displays that they have on 4th of July at stadiums and whatnot weren't near as good as what this was. Of course, we had a really good view to it, too, only, you know, being 100 yards off of the runway. So the fireworks was incredible.
The fireworks were awesome, and then they concluded that with the jet-powered truck.
Yes.
Which lit the wall of fire.
Yes. Jet-powered truck that has 18,000 horsepower using some sort of jet with an afterburner, of course, and it did about 300 miles an hour, they said, down the runway, and it lit this huge wall of fire. And we were the better part of 200 yards away from this wall of fire and could feel the heat warm us up. Which was good, because we were kind of chilly at that point.
It was actually really awesome.
So yeah, that was really cool. And after that, we just kind of headed back to camp and started...
Finished packing, and...
Yeah.
Now we're on our way.
Set our goodbyes, because no one else was going to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning to say goodbye to, so we pretty much set our goodbyes then. That pretty much wraps up Oshkosh 2011 for us and this quick cast. Till next year, I hope I can make it back. I'd love to come back and bring my family if possible. They sounded kind of interested to it, so we'll see. It was incredibly awesome meeting all you people that we talk with on Twitter, and hopefully more and more can make it each and every year. Any final words, John?
I need coffee.
Wow, that is epic right there, and so true. Coffee would do us some good.
You could.
All I got to do is get on a flight at 8:05. John still has to drive the rest of the way to Maryland, and from Milwaukee.
You're gonna be home way before I will.
Yeah,
I haven't switched.
Especially with the time zone difference, because it'll only be like 9-something by the time I get home. Because I get,
well, it's gonna be 9-something when I get home, just at, on the other side of the day.
Yeah. 12 hours later. Exactly. Yeah. So how many hours from Wisconsin? Milwaukee.
Milwaukee is like 13, ish. So. I've already done a good, you know, hour of my drive, so now I have about 14 hours left.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely have to find some coffee in Milwaukee after you drop me off. So anyways, I'd just like to thank John for being so nice to come and pick me up from Milwaukee. It's 90 miles away from Oshkosh, and bring me back and take me back. So that was very much appreciated, and I really, really can't wait to do it again. So,
I need some rest, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 2 days, and then I'm going to want to come back.
Yeah. That's the problem, is that I, especially yesterday, trying to do as much as we did in that one day was not really a good idea. I'm only 40 years old, but yesterday I felt like I was somewhere in my, ailing late 60s to coming up on 70s at this point, the way my body felt.
I can tell you that I'm not able to walk today, but I've also been there all week.
My feet were so wet from doing the dawn patrol and the grass out there that my feet were pruning, and starting to crease and stuff, and so it felt like my foot was almost cut, but it wasn't. It was just from it pruning up. Anyways, we're going to end this. This is a quick cast number 2 for Oshkosh 2011. See you later.